develop the demon hand, while at the same time maintain the Buddha's heart. Demon and Buddha, you might say they are both very two different sides. Yeah, you need both. If there is fear, if there is jealousy, if there is anger, if there is something and you realize it about yourself, number one is you accept it and ultimately also see that there is no substance to it.
Today's video was sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food with everything that your body needs. They've just sent me their new Super Greens. I'm gonna be trying these out later on. If you wanna find out more, head to the link in the description.
Yesterday, we spoke about when you have a mentor or a relationship with a person and they give you that spark in terms of inspiration, or maybe they could even tell you something and it just gives you, you have a feeling, there's a feeling there. With, I think myself and my brothers, is with filmmaking and making these videos, is it's a very similar feeling to what we feel is our purpose, is a very similar feeling. But again, very difficult to articulate to people. How would you explain to somebody to find their purpose or to find their passion? Like, what is the process?
Good. I think it is a very, very difficult endeavor, let's say, to try and walk through this lifetime only by yourself. It is something extremely helpful to either have close friends, to have a brotherhood, to have a community, to have people that you are surrounding yourself with, where you are feeling that there is something you have in common, or what we also sometimes call where there is resonance between you. And sometimes you meet a person, and if you are aware enough and you start your conversations, you will feel that maybe the way how that person is behaving, the things this person is talking, there is something that is resonating with yourself. And just by taking this word resonating, resonance means there is something getting into the same wavelength, something getting in the same swing, in the same frequency as what you already are carrying inside. It is similar, like, why do people have different tastes when it comes to music? Why are there some beats you like to hear? And they are like music for your ears. But other type of tracks, they are hard for you. They are more like disturbing maybe for you. And at least my theory and my understanding is that because there is something from the past maybe already that you are carrying inside of you, you are starting to re-remember something. Re-remember that you maybe heard these sounds before, that you were maybe in contact with these type of frequencies before. And so every time when you feel there is something where you quickly come in resonance, it could mean that you are just starting off to re-remember a place where you have been before. So you're just starting to continue from that moment on. On the other side, it doesn't mean that if you are witnessing something and you're not in resonance with it, it also doesn't mean that there is no possibility in there. Because everything that is unknown to you, everything that in the moment is disturbing to you, that is in a way a challenge to you, like we mentioned before, these are also chances. But right now, when we are talking about somebody feeling lost, somebody not knowing what is my own path, one way of, let's say, starting a journey is to just start by socializing start by getting to know different people, talking with the people, and figuring out if there's anything during those conversations where you directly feel that is something I'm resonating with. Because if these ideas at the moment don't come from you, that's not a problem. But then we need at the moment, at this moment in time, maybe just some additional support from the outside. And all humans are the same. On the one side, it's right. On the other side, it's not right. All humans are the same and all humans are unique. Somewhere along these humans, there are people you are resonating with. So you are definitely not alone along this path. But to give up and think that there is, that you are a lost case, there are no lost cases. Unless you give yourself up, then it is lost. But if you for yourself keep that spark inside of you and just try at least and find someone else that is on the same wavelength, I think that is a chance.
How do you overcome fear?
Good. So, before I answer this question, how to overcome fear, I maybe have to just say what type of structure, what type of guideline I sometimes start to, let's say, share with people how to approach something that either gives you a positive emotion or that gives you a negative emotion. Regardless, we are dealing right now with that state. So either it is something which is maybe uplifting, but at the same time, it can also be something which, in terms of fear, is more or less closing something inside of you. And I think in one of these TEDx talks, I mentioned it already, that there is the method which is quite easy to remember, which is called RAIN. Yeah, R-A-I-N. So the R is standing for recognize. Whatever emotional state comes up, happiness, sadness, fear, depression, jealousy, RAIN. Number R, recognize. Recognize, first of all, what type of feeling is it that's coming up? That is the number R. The A is standing for acknowledge or accept. What it means is, if you are afraid, if there is fear, if there is jealousy, if there is anger, if there is something and you realize it about yourself, number one is you accept it. You say, yes, okay, at this moment I feel really angry. Yeah, I feel really sad. I feel the fear which is coming up. So that acknowledgement, meaning you try to stop yourself from trying to separate it. Because you can only adjust something if it is a part of you. That is a very important idea, also in the martial arts. Only if I have a connection with you, I can change something about you. Only if I have a connection to my emotion, to my state, only then I can change it. This is why that word A, that acknowledgement or that acceptance, is something which is like really important. Then the number or the I is standing for investigation. Investigation means you recognize it, you accepted it, and now you investigate. Investigate can mean you ask the questions a detective would ask you. Why? Why is it coming up? Because of what did it come up? What did it trigger? Could it be that there is something in the past that now led to the fact that it's coming up inside of you? So it's all these type of questions, investigation. Investigation about that field of emotion that came up there. And the last one now, the N, is normally standing in Buddhist terms for non-identification. So non-identification means, this is now probably a little bit difficult to put in words, but I try still. You know, what you are thinking . No, if you think something, you are able to recognize it. That means the thinking takes part in something. No, I make it different. If we go to the cinema, let's talk like this. If we go to the cinema and you watch an action movie, then you can see on the screen, you have on the screen the action images. Sometimes you go to the cinema, but on the screen you have a horror movie. So on the screen are running different images. But all these images are only possible to be seen because the background of the action movie and of the horror movie is the screen. If you take the screen away, it doesn't matter what image you are projecting, there is nothing that's able to project it. So that screen is the same like in the Chinese or in the Asian ways, we sometimes say, the clouds, they are like the thoughts. But the thoughts, they can only appear, or the clouds can only appear, because the underlying big is the sky. So there are the clouds within the sky. There are the images of the movie on the screen. And there are the emotions that come up on behalf of your perception that is existing. So that means what you have, what we all have, is we are able to perceive. And some people, based on something that is triggering them, sometimes they perceive the anger coming up. They perceive the sadness is coming up. So these emotional states, they can be perceived. If they can be perceived, then it means they are not you, because you are the one who sees them. And non-identification means that you can witness for yourself that these things are like clouds that sometimes pop up in the sky. And just like every cloud ever on this earth, neither of these clouds ever stayed. It's only sometimes a sequence, an episode within your lifetime. And this idea of non-identification is something that is relating into this direction. Yeah? Meaning that you understand, that you see why this fear came up, with what it is related to, and ultimately also see that there is no substance to it.
Throughout the year, and especially at the start of the year, myself and my brothers will sit down and we'll start to write goals, and we'll start to write things down in our journals and have certain things to achieve that year, or just things to make it more present. And we've always said that the writing down of something for us helps us manifest it even more. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Yes, so in what you just said right now, I can absolutely agree, because this is like in those programs when people do not come here, let's say. One part of why we do have, for example, workbooks is because we want them not just to stay in the world of thinking about these things, thinking about the outcome and thinking about what they just felt, because to manifest them and writing them down gives another quality to it, let's say. And so therefore, yes, what you want, what you create in the mind, it's all about manifesting. Things that stay in the mind that do not manifest, it's good for one person itself, but maybe it doesn't benefit many more people because they don't see it. People can only see it if it is manifested. And the first way of bringing something from here out into this world is by writing it down, or even speaking it on something that records it. What are your thoughts? Also meaning you can also manifest in the moment where you speak about your ideas to another person. Even that one is something that is starting to turn the wheel. So this is how I see, which is like part of the process in terms of when you want to make something become real. Why do you exchange ideas? Because sooner or later you want maybe some of these ideas to become real, that the idea starts to shape into a form. And how is it done? Some people write their ideas down, because from what is written down, something else is going to come out from it. Other people prefer to exchange these ideas with other people once again. But no matter how you do it, it must be something that it starts to take a shape. Yes. Whether it is, like I said, in terms of writing it down, speaking it on a recorder, or drawing it somewhere. But I do suggest that also now, in regards of starting the new year, it does help to write down on your refrigerator just a few bullet points. People might think, yeah, but that's, come on, it's so little. No, it's the little things. If you can't handle the little things, you will not be able to handle the big things. That's just how it is. So that means the small things matter. Even if last year nothing was written on your refrigerator, but this year you make up your mind, you make up your plan, and you put it there, visible, every day. It matters.
I heard you use this word a few times, and when we speak about manifestation, this one really sits with me quite well, and it's the idea of seeds and planting these seeds. With manifesting something, for me, a thought is almost a seed, but to get it to the point where it is in this world, it is a physical thing. How do people go about that?
So, you know, every day I have a lot of thoughts also. I have a lot of ideas. Partly these are things now that sometimes come from me. At the same time, I also have, let's say, requests or ideas that are coming, let's say, from the outside being offered to me. So what I have sometimes at the end of the day is I can see in the mind those ideas. Now what I do first of all is I keep them within myself and do what I call, I contemplate, I think about them. But think about them deeply. Meaning, I take this idea, I look at where would that idea lead? If I would now start with that current situation to invest energy in. And so what derives out from that is I'm starting to see pictures, I start to see a vision involving that idea in the future. And this I just do with everything that comes to my mind. And then see it in a bigger perspective of, is that now what I think the monastery, this community, or myself would in any way benefit from in order to make our mission more close to achieve, which means share more. This is how at the moment I'm planning my, let's say, I'm starting my projects. And once I'm clear for myself, this is the one I take. This is the one I take. Then meanwhile, I don't even have doubt that this idea in here will take reality. I don't even have that doubt that it will not take place. Because for me right now, it is that I try with my intentions. Just figure out right now, who else, what else do I need? What is it that is in my hands right now to make that plan come true? Which obstacles do I maybe have to remove? And which other people or other things do I maybe need to take in that idea? And then it starts. If I have some people on my mind, the writing starts, the contacting starts. If I see already, okay, there are a few obstacles right now we need to get rid of, then the daily work goes into, okay, remove the obstacles. And yes, and why I am saying that at the moment I am trusting this process so much, that I'm trusting that idea so much, that it will come real, is because I'm clear of my intentions. And as arrogant as it sounds, but I do think that this intention is very much in line of what I think this world is needing right now. Yeah.
Just a point there, removing the obstacles. I guess for the start of someone's year, or if somebody is really, not even the start of someone's year, if someone's embarking on a new journey and they don't know where to start, a lot of people are carrying around a lot of baggage or heavy weights with them on these journeys that they don't need to be. You know, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of things that are just irrelevant. How important is it? I mean, we spoke about it the other day, about emptying the cup. I'm not having all that stuff. It going into the new year, into 2023, like, how important is it if people want to embark on a new journey to sort of drop those weights that they don't need to be carrying anymore?
If someone is determined to really figure out what does this life has to offer to you, if you want to really engage into life at its fullest, I would say, the more you're able to let go, the quicker you are going to approach along this way. Why? Because the more things, the more weight you are letting go, the more light you become, the more open you become, the more new things are automatically starting to fill all the gaps that now you have made space for. But if you are starting into the next year, into your next period, but you keep on having the same things over and over again that are already inside of you since the last 20 years, nothing too much new gonna come. Because there is something already too hard inside of you. You're stuck already with a conceptual view about how this life is supposed to look. And this is sometimes why we call, you have the physical practice to keep your body healthy and running along this lifetime. But then we have the spiritual practices, the ones that don't have so much to do anymore with the physicality. They have something to do with opening up, allowing your mind to get free of the concepts, get free of the things that have been accumulating inside of ourselves, and that from time to time then start to block ourselves. And this is why we have those physical practices, mental practices, and both of them, the more you're able to let go, the farther you're going to proceed. So therefore, to your question, it is essential. The more your willingness and your ability to let go, the more changes are gonna come. It's just like this. For new things to come, old things must go. And now, just as I mentioned, there is the willingness, first of all, to let go. And then there is your skill level, your abilities. Can you, even if you want? And there it is now also good to know. By practicing certain methods, many of them that I told you already. Many of them that are also available. By using them, there is a certain degree that you can already help or support yourself in letting go, learning what does it mean to let go. But sometimes there are also things that have, let's say, that are caught within us that you just cannot reach by yourself. And this is the moment where sometimes you need support, where sometimes even if the willingness is there and you even maybe can see what it is that is stuck inside of you, but sometimes you need a person, more persons, or sometimes you need an additional support to get rid of it. So this is also important really to understand. Yeah. But this is the reason why nowadays people start to travel and go to all different types of places, meeting shamans, meeting monks, all of this. This is, I really think, where it comes from. Because they feel that they for themselves cannot proceed anymore. They maybe have reached their limit of knowledge and their skill level at the same time to proceed deeper. So, and who are the ones that are able to proceed from there on? Only the ones that went deeper. And this is where it's ending once again, why we have walls around here. Because you have a lot of time for yourself. And if you are putting the right effort into it, the right concentration to it, and the right meditation to it, there is a type of depth that you can then develop, which an average person normally does not have the time for. Everybody can achieve it. If you are investing enough of the effort, enough of the training into it, enough of the time in really watching inside of yourself. And why I mention this is that this is the reason why sometimes if people come here, if they speak to spiritual people sometimes, they can take something out from you that you for yourself cannot do. And maybe no one in your surroundings was able so far to do it. But it is simply because we can see a little bit closer. That's it. There is no magic to that. It's just that it was part of our daily routine, part of our daily life, belonging to exactly that, the Shaolin way of living. Physical deaths and mental deaths. That's it.
I think because of the setting that we're in, this is a nice question to open with. And I want to open with like trying to find light within the darkness or trying to find hope in difficult times.
Okay. So let's start taking this question quite literally, meaning it's too dark. So the result of if something is too dark is it's very difficult to actually distinguish anything. What are your possibilities in the darkness? Because you don't see any direction. You don't see objects in the darkness. So what therefore the approach is, what therefore I think must be done is no matter which method you're using, you need to light up that space. So either you find a way to really light up that space so that in such a way that darkness slowly disappears and you slowly start to see what is in that room, what is in that space. That is the first possibility. Or the second one would be that you are developing yourself and are equipping yourself with some type of skills that gives you better abilities to see in the dark. And that can now mean, to translate this, sometimes when we are talking about seeing, we often relate it to the eyes, of course. But now there are different type of martial arts that already know sometimes things are going too fast. So fast that it's not advisable to only rely your actions upon what your eyes are able to perceive. So that's why now we are increasing sensibility and sensitivity in other areas of ourself, which means the sensitivity of your touch, the sensitivity of realizing noise. And that means in the Chinese martial arts, for example, there are different methods that are training certain skills, the skills to better listen. But listening, this time not meaning listening with the ears, listening while touching and being in contact with the person. That means the sensitivity increases of how you are starting to perceive your counterpart, let's say. And now translating this into the question, how can someone now who finds himself in this type of darkness, so what can he do? And there I can really only say there are a lot of different methods out there, and every door needs one certain key. Sometimes the Shaolin methods are not always the proper ones to just be offered to anyone. Sometimes it just doesn't fit. But the principle behind all of this is, see, this feeling of darkness in the way, this feeling of something is, yeah, exactly, it's closed to you. So if I right now just replace that word darkness with the term that something is closed, the possibilities are closed because there's nothing to see. You don't know what to do. So what are we doing in the different methods now in the Shaolin Temple? Number one step is open the body, or open the human. Open the human not only in terms of physically opening, meaning stretch open the muscles, stretch open the tendons, stretch open the ligaments, open really the body, open the lungs, that more oxygen can come in. But also means open the mind. Open the mind meaning to stop, to realize whenever you are in a way limiting your views, for example, limiting your own perspective. And by regularly practicing, every day we have exercises to open the body. Every day we take care that we are opening and stay with the open mind. This openness after time is something that we are then starting to incorporate into our being, into our daily life. And this is what opens then the doors again. The more open you become, the more you will see once again the possibilities that are out there. And now, practically speaking, what should you do? Increase the level of activity. That is like, if you want to have a one straight answer, if somebody finds himself in a too dark place, increase the amount of activity. Which means spend a lot of time outside while the sun is shining where there are a lot of people. The opposite is you're in a dark place and you stay at home in your four walls. For some time, it's sometimes necessary, but this is not going to be the solution. So that means if you by yourself cannot create that light, then we have to somehow try that the circumstances on the outside help you, support you a little bit along this way. And it can be quite similar being also seen with this monastery. If everybody would have the ability to bring out the self-discipline, you don't need like disciplinary masters, meaning you don't need a monastery also that takes care that you are keeping that external rules and the external structure. But like, for example, today, all the young guys that came, if they would already be so self-disciplined that they know exactly what they can do, what they cannot do, if they want to achieve something, that they just focus on that, if they knew all of these things, well, then they don't need this monastery anymore. But the point is that no human being, or a few, let's say, or very little, it's difficult sometimes if you are surrounded with different environments to always remind yourself back again, what is the state of being to keep on walking? And therefore, if it is not existing in the beginning, coming from yourself, that's why we need sometimes external support. And the same goes for the question, if somebody finds himself in that place of darkness, either you find a way that you can find some light in there and then make it shine brighter from day to day, or you need support. And this support at the same time can also mean I think it makes sense to say that if you are looking for external support, you need to find the persons that already solved this problem, that already went through that darkness, that already had been in that darkness. Because if somebody has never been there, what are the answers, what are the solutions this person giving you? From which fundament are they coming? On behalf of which basis? So that means sometimes the answers to such questions, they must come from someone who already had experience in that area. Because all other things are sometimes assumptions, book knowledge, which doesn't mean it's wrong, but it still is quite different. If you are talking sometimes to people where you know they went through something, this is not talk. It's talk from their experience.
Huel have just sent me their new Daily Greens. If you want to find out more, head to the link down below. It's the most convenient way of getting everything that your body needs. It takes 10 seconds to prepare. I'm now going to hit this every single morning along with one of their shakes throughout the day. That saves me so much time when we're flying around the world with all our equipment. We're doing these podcast episodes to know that I can get all of this nutrients, the minerals, the vitamins in 10 seconds is mind blowing. So if you want to find out more, head to the link down below where you can get Huel. Did I mention that it's absolutely delicious? Because it really is absolutely delicious. All of their products are down below. You know, who we are is made up, there's a large portion that's made up through our experiences, and you know, a lot of that experience is when we're young and we're a child, and you know, the world is new and different to us. And I think us growing up, I had a big family, I had my brothers around me, and we were inspired by all these different things. And I'm curious as to what inspired you. You know, what can you see looking back if there's anything that led you to this point as in those younger, earlier days?
I don't feel well when I suffer. Okay, let's start like this. I don't feel well when I suffer. So of course, I am interested to know how can I make the period shorter of the suffering? Or how can I accelerate that the suffering starts to transform and I would return back to another state? And therefore, training has, for many years and many years, has always been my valve.
As I said, the same for us. We have always had training, physical training. It's why my sister powerlifts. It's why Luke and William, we used to do calisthenics. We in our back garden, we'd have scaffold and we'd build it into apparatus to do pull-ups and chin-ups. And we were always fortunate to have each other to compete against and fight against and in a competitive way. So when you were younger, what did the training look like?
It was my normal kung fu training. It's just like the amount of time. How often are you repeating the form?
Mm.
How often are you repeating like the repetition of your push-ups? How often are you punching the bag?
How much of that was chosen? Like as a kid, how much was you going, I'm going to choose to do push-ups. I'm going to choose to do...
I mean, you know, I jump a little bit. When people come here, sometimes they're afraid the training is too hard, okay? It's not gonna be the exercise that I'm giving you which is gonna be harder. I'm just gonna say we're gonna do push-ups right now. So now you can just like stand on the ground and your push-up is like this, okay? So let's say your immersion into the exercise is quite low. But if you do just one push-up, really going down and feel everything under tension and then go up, so which means you are actually the one deciding how much effort, how much precision are you putting actually into that one exercise. That is what makes the difference. And so the teacher also, when I was young, he just said, okay, do this, do this, do that. Yeah, but the intensity, let's say the seriousness that you put into there in regards to yourself, to really push yourself and use that method to change something about you, this is completely up to you. Nobody knows when inside of you the struggle starts, you know, that struggle. And where is that? And then when that point comes where still out of nothing or wherever it comes, still suddenly based on your thoughts, based on whatever you are creating in the mind or whatever, suddenly the last piece also comes out.
Mm.
So this is like something like an internal force. That internal force either coming from hope, coming from thinking about a loved one, many ways.
Mm.
But if you find something that suddenly can give you that boost, is, I don't know, I think I think it's something really special to discover something that the human can do this.
Yeah, I think as kids, I had the biggest inspiration. My brothers would attest to this, I believe. My mom was a single mom, 7 kids, shoestring budget, and we watched her raise us through absolute grit and determination. So for us, we had that inspiration to work hard because we saw our mother do it. And I'm curious, is there a point in your life that you remember where you would draw from that power? Like, was it from inspiration? Was it a loved one?
So on the one side, after transforming the suffering or taking the suffering as the reason now to do more intensity training, first of all, when these moments happened, I realized after the training, the suffering, first of all, was less. That's number one. Second thing is the same reason why I suffered before when it somehow came again. Didn't felt so ground shaking anymore like the first time. So meaning something started to grow already based on this training. So for me, it was like, okay, all the suffering is your chance to grow. This is how also then I just started shifting. Meaning, I didn't regard suffering as something bad anymore that I don't want to have, let's say. Yeah. Meanwhile, it is like the suffering comes because either I was not properly prepared enough, because I'm still missing something, I'm still missing a hint, whatever, but it is the chance for me to discover something more about me. And this is actually that what always has motivated me. That is not going to get boring when you take it as a life challenge, as a life purpose. Find a way to end the suffering. If you need a life purpose, that's the one.
That concept of chosen suffering versus unchosen suffering, like life will take a loved one from you. How much has it helped you to have chosen suffering through training, through the martial arts and those kind of practices, just and discipline in general, and choosing that life of suffering at times? How much has that helped you to process unchosen suffering? Like when life hits you with, you know, the death of a loved one or illness or something like that, has it helped you along the way?
Kung Fu training, walking through the valley of pain. That's how is it known. Mm. Buddhist teaching, a method to help you overcome the suffering. The physical training, always putting you right onto the limit where the suffering or the pain, let's say, starts mentally or physically, and then you hopefully have a good teacher or a good group dynamic that is pushing you beyond that suffering or pain. Now, this is the way of growth. So number one is suffering is an essential ingredient of the life that we humans are living. So therefore, I think it's necessary to build up your personal relationship. What does it mean when suffering appears in your life? And in my opinion, ignoring, no way, it's going to come back. Running away from it, impossible. The pain is running faster. The suffering runs faster than you. It's going to come back again. There's only one way, I really think it is. You need to push through. I know what I want, but when the suffering comes and now somebody tell me you need to push through, do you have the mental, do you have the physical abilities to push through? And if you say no, well, then we need to develop them. And we develop them very, very lightly with small things. Yeah? You can't have your thoughts, or you can't sit still for 5 minutes. Let's start with 2. Okay? The 2 are okay. Okay, let's move up 3 minutes. Move up 5 minutes. Move up 10 minutes. Okay, now your mind can be still for 10 minutes. Let's increase the pressure on you. Instead of just sitting like silently, nothing moving, let's give you more disturbance, which means this time we go into a horse stance. So now let's start again. Try 10 minutes to not think about the suffering, to think about the pain, to let the pain and the shaking and the burning, to not let it disturb you. Now, we have created a new circumstance in order for you to test. How did your 10 minutes ability to keep the mind steady can now be applied to the moment of that additional pressure. And then we expand this all to now the real life pressure that comes when unexpected things hit your life. There it is the same. How much, for how long, can you maintain your unbroken state? Okay? And this is the practice. This is where it leads to.
The teachings to have a strong body. We talk about, you know, mental strength and the mind quite a lot. But I think when we focus on that, we overlook the physical body. And we're talking about strength training and things like that prior to this interview. And how important is it to have a physically capable body?
Okay. If in the recent times, for example, when I looked at different interviews, there's one word which like starts to, maybe it seems like it, but it pops up more often, which is the warrior. Mm. Yeah, it pops up a little bit quite often. And of course, you can be a mental warrior, meaning you're always strict, you're always strong in the mind, you keep going. Yes, of course, this is something that you need. But at the same time, taking it a little bit more literal, a little bit more martial, it also means a warrior that you at the same time have the physical abilities to interfere. A warrior is sent. A warrior has or feels the obligation. If something is out of balance out there, I'm going to fix it. Or you try. And if you try and you fail, you try harder next time. But you don't give up on that statement that you're giving to yourself. So, and in that sense, and especially that the Shaolin warriors are embedded in the field of martial arts, the full picture is you need to have a capable body. But if I would express it like this too often, maybe there will be a group of people that say, yeah, but I can't anymore because of this, this, and this issue. So how can I still participate in the Shaolin teachings? You can, of course. That's why I'm telling this the whole time, that it's not about this martial aspect. But if you want to have a glimpse into how in the past Shaolin warriors were living, why they were called like this, it's possible to find it out. And that means you are using methods to bring something out of the body that the average person does not have. It's not only that you're physically able. It is something very strange. It is something that inside of you, you access something different in you. There is a famous saying which is called Gui Shou Fo Xin. Demon's hand, Buddha heart. It's an old Shaolin saying. Develop the demon hand while at the same time maintain the Buddha's heart. Demon and Buddha, you might say they are both very two different sides. Yeah, you need both. You need both. Demon hand, demon heart, no good. Then you are going to become a threat for this world. Demon hand, Buddha heart. Well, to be able to access something and then decide upon your heart whether to use it or not. I think this is what we're looking for. Yeah. And the physical abilities is important, of course, but there's more to it.
I think something a lot of people are interested in is the process of becoming a master, like how you have to, where you have to get your knowledge from, and the sort of the journeys and, well, the journey of it in general, but the journeys you have to make to get that knowledge and wisdom.
So in Asia, it's like this, either you're student or you're master. Simple. Until you are not a master, you're still student. So this is how somebody in Asia still knows, let's say, where he is standing. In Europe, we have systems. Systems, for example, graduation systems. You have to make an exam. You have to, for example, show some forms, show some skills, show some abilities that you have learned within the last 3 months, for example, and then you get your certificate. And here in Europe, it's well known, you get some type of belts. In the system, the Kung Fu system that I studied in the past, it was the Shaolin Green Dragon system, it's called. Shaolin Green Dragon. That system, that time, consisted of no belt, then you got the white belt. Then the white, yellow, have belts. So white and yellow, white, yellow, 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 orange, 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 green, 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 blue, 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 purple, 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 brown, 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 red, red, black, red, black. That was like one of the systems that I went through in the past. And every time when you want to reach another graduation level, there are some forms that you need to show. And like I said, some abilities and skills that you have to learn. Merge together with theoretical lessons in every graduation step. And it took me around with 18, I received the first, let's say, the first master title, the first mastership title in the field of Shaolin Green Dragon. So that means it's like a normal test. You go through a lot of testing. And yeah. And afterwards, when we started then to get in contact with many more people, also, for example, in 2001, with the five first Shaolin masters that were sent from China to Germany to teach, that was like the next time where we had exchange with these type of masters. Yeah. And so this is the way that in terms of recognition and in terms of graduation, how you are becoming a master. Through testing.
One thing we get a lot of comments about is ego. It's, you know, spoken about very negatively. And a lot of people are asking, how do they overcome their ego? I'm just wondering what your opinion is on it and what you have to say about it.
The way how I understand ego, and if I hear these words, it's for me very close related to identification. If there's nothing you are identifying yourself with, I think it's difficult that somehow an ego starts to arise from it. So ego and self-identification, or any type of identification, are closely related. So now I take me as an example. Let's just imagine I take off this robe. I put on my nicest jogging suit. Or not nice, doesn't matter. And in that training suit, I do the average type of talks. Okay, I let my hair grow a little bit longer. The point is, nobody would even listen. People initially start to listen more carefully if I come like this. If I wear a robe, and if I'm fulfilling some type of image that people have about what they either call a master or a monk or whatever it is. So wearing these robes, wearing these accessories here, having this type of haircut, having a certain vocabulary that I'm talking in, this is for me also the pure expression of ego. It's the pure expression of something that is like, that I'm identifying myself in. Now the thing is, what do you want to do the whole day long if you have nothing that you are identifying yourself with? Then it's like you are love and air. There's no identification. You're completely free and open. You have no form. Yeah, identification means something has started to shape a form. And for me, once again, we are living in a world based off form and formlessness. We have form and formlessness. We have things you can grasp and see with the eyes, and we have things that are invisible to the eye. Both of these aspects exist in this type of world, in that existence that we are in right now. So for me, it's not about getting rid of the ego. For me, there are 2 points to watch out here. Number one is, in that process of identification, in the choice that you have done for yourself as what you would like to express yourself, identify yourself, for what are you using this ego? Now, I have decided I want to become a Shaolin master. I dress as a Shaolin master. My daily life is filled with stuff that Shaolin is normally known for. From morning till evening, everything for me is about Shaolin. So for what do I use this now for? I use it for because I think that this image, the world out there, listens more easily in order for me to transmit something that I think everybody needs to know this. It makes it easier for me to transmit that message when I look like this. But besides that, I don't care at all. I don't know how else to say. It's been a long time that all the trophies and all the certificates and all this type of things, I don't care anymore. So there is the other side of, yes, you can create something like this and then start collecting your trophies at home. That is a different way of using the ego. So I think it is about, for what are you using your identification, your ego, inside this world? That is the question. And from the past, mainly I think it is self-centeredness that goes hand in hand with this type of egoism that people sometimes are referring to. So if there is a type of person who is identifying himself in such a way that this type of identification is separating him more amongst other people, that is the wrong direction. Because the separation happens almost by itself. The difficult part is bringing what you see is drifting apart. Invest your energy and hold it together. This is always more difficult. You know, so that means if you see two people are having an argument and you don't interfere, it's easy. The easy way is they just start separating. You know, the fight, maybe the argument becomes bigger and bigger. It's easy, they separate. But to find a way how to combine apparently two different types of opinions, two different types of mindsets, how to still figure out a way how they can, let's say, cooperate, coexist. It takes brain power and it takes effort. But it is the solution that holds them together. That is the difference. The ego path is the one with the separation. The difficult part is the one where you always figure out again and again, how can I connect? How can I make people come together? Not how can I make people separate more? It's happening by itself, the separation.